What a blessing. What a blessing. Emmanuel, God with us. Can you imagine that? That's so hard to imagine. The creator of heaven and earth and us. Amen. And he's here with us today. Where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst. If you have a Bible, turn to the book of Psalms. Psalms 17. Psalm 17. Have you ever prayed for humility? And then you get up from prayer and you really want it, and then somebody shows you that you're proud and you get mad at them. You know, sometimes God will answer our prayer in a way that we don't understand. I've ordained and trained a lot of young preachers, and the ordination council always, at least in my experience, has gone, the preachers that have asked the questions would go up one at a time and kind of whisper some words of wisdom into the young man being ordained. And I always have said the same thing, just be humble. Because I know God can do something great with a humble person. If my people shall call upon my name and turn from their wicked way, then will I hear from heaven. But if they will humble themselves, that's in the Bible. Paul said, lest when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. I am very conscious of that. Every time I get in the pulpit, thank you for your prayers. It's so important. The word of God will be preached today, and we all need to hear it. Amen. And so continue to pray. In Proverbs, the wise man said, rebuke a wise man, and he will love you. Rebuke a fool, and he'll hate you. And sometimes the Bible goes in that direction. I don't have any plans of that today. Amen. Amen? Okay. Jesus even said, I have many things to say unto you, but you're not ready to hear them. But I'm going to say exactly what God wanted me to say today, and I believe it'll be a blessing. We're in the Psalms. You can't go wrong in the Psalms. It's all about the blessings of God, his mercy, his forbearance, and just a wonderful thing. We'll start in verse 1 of Psalm 17. Hear the right, O Lord, attend unto my cry, give ear unto my prayer, that goeth not out of feigned lips. In other words, it's very sincere. Let my sentence come forth from thy presence. Let thine eyes behold the things that are equal. Thou hast proved mine heart. Thou hast visited me in the night. Thou hast tried me and shalt find nothing. I am purposed that my mouth shall not transgress. Concerning the works of men, by the word of thy lips, I have kept me from the paths of the destroyer. Hold up my goings in thy paths, that my footsteps slip not. I have called upon thee, for thou wilt hear me, O God. Incline thine ear unto me, and hear my speech. Show thy marvelous loving kindness, O thou that savest by thy right hand them which put their trust in thee, from those that rise up against him. And verse 8 will be our text. Keep me as the apple of the eye. That's a great saying used by a lot of people. Keep me as the apple of the eye. Hide me under the shadow of thy wings. And let's bow our heads and pray. Father, thank you for your word today. Thank you for the Spirit of God who so desires to make the word come alive in every one of our hearts. Thank you for the spiritual aspect of our service, how you can speak to everyone here. And I pray that you meet every need. Be real to us today, Lord. May your word have power. We pray for wisdom and liberty as we preach now and hear your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Keep me as the apple of the eye. Hide me under the shadow of thy wings. You know, back in Matthew chapter 23, Jesus was preaching a sermon to the nation, and he said, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that stonest the prophets and killest those that are sent unto thee, how oft I would have gathered you under my wings as a mother hen gathereth her chicks. And then he says, but ye would not. It's a safe place to be under his wings. It's told us, it's revealed to us over and over in the scripture. Have you ever played hide and seek? Of course, if you're 70, you probably stop playing hide and seek. But people play hide and seek, and one is hiding, another is seeking, and then you switch roles, but you know what it's like to be found or to not want to be found. They're all games. Easter egg hunt, our little granddaughter, we used to do one for her every year, and we get those little plastic eggs and hide them. I mean, you could see them. They're all over the living room, you know. And she'd get them and she'd say, do it again. And so she'd cover her eyes and we'd do it like 5 or 6 times, you know. And just the thrill of finding something. What's this scavenger hunt? Have you ever had a scavenger hunt? And, you know, it's a little more profitable to have something like that. But all those are games. And there are no real bad consequences with each of them. There's a saying, sweep it under the rug. And I've told this story before, but maybe you haven't heard it. When we were younger, I had a two-year-old brother 2 years older than me. And I was, maybe 7, 8 years old, maybe 9. And we were left alone in our house one time, 7-year-old, 8-year-old, and a 9-year-old. We really had a good time. And my brother had one of his friends over, and he told me, get me a glass of water. And I said, no, and he's ordering me around. And I did something. I think I slapped him or did something. And he was after me. And I ran in the bathroom, and I put my feet against the commode and my back against the door. I was a human wedge. And they're trying to push in and get to me, and they couldn't do it. And the bathroom was right at the end of a hallway. And all of a sudden I hear 1, 2, 3, and I hear footsteps. And they hit the door, and it ripped it right off the hinges. I mean, there are wood splinters everywhere. This is a real problem, you know, because when my mom or my grandmother was coming home, what are we going to say? So we took the bathroom door, and we put it under a bed. And we swept up all of the wood shavings. And now remember, it's a bathroom door. A closet door, you might have got by a few hours, but not the bathroom door. And sooner or later, they discovered the bathroom door was ripped. We were found out. And I think of that scripture, be sure your sin will find you out. But even the consequences of that are not that severe. We think of our military, and thank God for our military. I think of our police officers, and thank God for them. They have been trained to destroy the enemy or keep us free from the enemy. What a blessing that is to us in the United States. Safe place to live, amen. But that it gets a little more serious there. And then when you talk about something spiritual, we're going to look at that today, because there's so many scriptures that bring us warning. For example, 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, and he walks about as a roaring lion. That's an interesting verse. Spiritually, it is a dangerous time to live spiritually, but it's a wonderful time to live spiritually. It's just what you believe. Psalm 22:13, they gaped upon me with their mouths as a ravening and a roaring lion. And it talks about the association of this terrible beast that's trying to destroy somebody, trying to kill them. And it compares that to the devil. 1 Corinthians 15:32, Paul said, I fought with beasts at Ephesus, the two-legged kind. And you have all of these illustrations in the Bible that teach that. You have Luke 10:3, Jesus said, go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. In Matthew 7:15, beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Matthew 10:16, behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be you therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. And so you find all of the warnings in the Bible and the association with it. This is a wolf. This is a lion. This is an enemy, and they're trying to attack us. Some people think life is just life, but the Bible teaches us that there's some power that wants to destroy that. I believe when I die, I'm going to spend eternity in heaven. Amen? And the Bible teaches that God promises that. If we just confess our sins, forsake them, trust Christ as our Savior, we can be saved. That's a blessing. Acts 20:29, Paul said this, I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. And there's people that have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. There's a transforming power of the gospel. Amen? We are transformed by the renewing of our mind. When a person gets saved, he loves the Lord. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, and all of the verses that tell us that. And people that are not saved, that don't know Christ, can't experience, they can't identify with that. Here's somebody that loves the Lord and goes to church and reads their Bible, and they have peace in their heart, and they make wise choices in their life, and et cetera, et cetera. And they do that because they're following the Lord. One of the verses in Psalm 17 was, "Thou hast kept me from the paths of the destroyer. The words of thy lips has kept me from the paths of the destroyer." And so we're grateful for that. But I want to look at something today. There is hidden talk, hidden agendas. There are hidden purposes. Remember, Judas said, "What will you give me? And I'll sell them out to you," speaking of the Lord. I've done a lot of counseling over the years. I'll answer the question of my age. I'm 37 now. And all right, 38. Okay. But I've done a lot of counseling and taught courses on counseling. And counseling is like peeling an onion. You can't get to the root of the problem right away. Maybe in some instances you can, but when you go to counseling, don't expect instant results. Amen? A good counselor will take his time and make sense of it to you. And you get down, and peeling an onion, it takes a long time to get down to the onion. But that's what we need to do today. Bitterness. The Bible talks about the root of bitterness springing up, trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Bitterness can be in somebody's heart, but it's pretty deep. It's rooted. It's something that's deep that needs taken care of. Pride is another one. 1 Timothy chapter 3, if you have that pride, you fall into the condemnation and snare of the devil. Unforgiveness is another one, 2 Corinthians, where it talks about not forgiving your brother for their sin. So many things. How about this one? Murmuring and complaining. Now, I know everybody here, I know most of you, nobody here has ever murmured or complained, ever. Can you identify with this? No. But murmuring and complaining. In Numbers chapter 21, "And the people spake against God and against Moses, 'Wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? There is no bread here, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread,'" that was manna. "And they were bitten by serpents, and that poison got in their veins. And had not been for the grace of God and the opportunity for them to look to the cross, they would have all died by being bit by the serpent." Now, think of this. Here's a roaring lion. Here's devil as that. Here's devil as a snake that bites and injects poison in your veins, and all the different pictures of that. We're not ignorant of his devices. In the message today, what I want to bring out is the Word of God has the answer for everything. And the Word of God is filled with counselors, whether you go to one and pay money for it or whether you make an appointment with the pastor or whatever. You can open your Bible at any time and get counsel from the Lord. That's a blessing. And nothing is hid before God. So he exposes that sin, and he exposes the enemy that is attacking. "Adam, where art thou?" Remember when God came into the garden, he said, "Adam, where are you?" Can you imagine that? That God, who created Adam, who created the universe, didn't know where Adam was? He knew exactly where Adam was. Adam was hiding because he had sinned against God. And sin causes people to hide from God. And here God just wanted to forgive them, and he did. And he made them a covering and all of the pictures there. He went to Abel, or to Cain, and he said, "Cain, where is your brother Abel?" And he knew exactly where his brother was. But he said that when Cain said, "Am I my brother's keeper?" And he identified the problem. And he worked on that and helped there. There's nothing hid before God. Before men, yes, but before God, not. Because God is omniscient. He knows everything. Amen? And he's omnipresent. He is everywhere, all the time. That's amazing. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 18. "He that hideth hatred with lying lips, and he that uttereth a slander is a fool. Have you ever been so put out with somebody, but you didn't let them know? Or you had, there was an offense and you didn't handle it the Bible way? Or something was happening and you were just getting angry, but you didn't want the anger to come out, but it was full in your heart. The way to deal with it is deal with the root. Amen? Peel the onion. Get to the real problem. And sometimes we hide anger with lying lips. Oh, there's nothing wrong. No, there's nothing wrong. It's better to handle the problem. Amen? That's a good thing. Take your Bible and turn to the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter 7. Joshua chapter 7. In Joshua chapter 7, well, back to chapter 6, the nation of Israel is fighting an enemy, and it's the Battle of Jericho in chapter 6. And God told them, when you win the battle in Jericho, don't take of the accursed thing, don't take the spoil, and don't take it personally. And so we come to chapter 7, and there was a man by the name of Achan, and he did exactly that. Took the spoil and he hid it in his tent. And the whole nation suffered for that. The whole nation was affected. If you look with me at verse 10, we'll just pick the story up. And the Lord said unto Joshua, get thee up, wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face? Israel has sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. For they have even taken of the cursed thing, and have also stolen and dissembled also. And they have put it even among their own stuff. Therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies, because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you any more, except ye destroy the accursed from among you. They could not win the battle any longer, because they had taken something that they were not supposed to do and hid it. We come to verse 13. Up, sanctify the people, and say, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in the midst of thee, O Israel. Thou canst not stand before thine enemies until ye take away the accursed thing among you. Now look at the instruction here. In the morning, therefore, ye shall be brought according to your tribes, and it shall be that the tribe which the Lord taketh shall come according to the families thereof. And the family which the Lord shall take shall come by households. And the household which the Lord shall take shall come by, man by man. Achan is the one who took the accursed thing and hid it in his tent. And this is God saying, tomorrow morning, this is what we're going to do. And we're going to expose who took that and how the whole nation is paying the price of that. Achan had that night that pillow his head and think about what was going to happen in the morning. Let's go on. So Joshua rose up early in the morning and brought Israel by their tribes, and the tribe of Judah was taken. And he brought the family of Judah, and he took the family of Zarahites, and he brought the family of the Zarahites man by man, and Zabdi was taken. Okay, this is in Achan's line. So now he's seeing this come to pass. And he brought the household man by man, and Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, and son of Zerah, and of the tribe of Judah were taken. And Joshua said unto Achan, my son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him, and tell me now what thou hast done. Hide it not from me. Look at verse 21. This is what Achan's response is. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonish garment and 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold and 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them and took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it. And then he was judged and destroyed, and then the nation had peace. And it's all about sin that he had hidden. What a freeing thing, what a wonderful thing to not grieve the Spirit or quench the Spirit of God, but to enjoy the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, all of those wonderful things. But it's a sin of mankind that separates between him and his God. But that affects a lot of other people too. It says he saw, he coveted, he took, and then he hid, and the whole nation was troubled. There are many Christians, I would imagine, that are troubling churches by discord or some other thing. But it's a wonderful thing to be able to add to the peace of a church, amen, the comfort of a church, the wisdom of a church, the strength of a church. We come together as a body, and all we want to do is pray one for another, love one another, comfort one another, all the one another verses. And yet, sometimes things get amiss, amen? Sometimes something happens that needs settled, that needs solved between brothers and sisters in Christ, between family members, so that we cannot hide that sin, that we can deal with it and be forgiven or forgive, amen? Otherwise, we're taken in the snare of the devil. In Proverbs 28:13, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall find mercy. That's a blessing, and that's all of us. If we cover our sins, we'll not prosper. Paul said again, I have learned when I preach to others, I don't want to become a castaway. Proverbs 22:3, a prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself. How does he do that? But the simple pass on and are punished. The exact same words are in chapter 27. The Lord says that twice. In Psalm 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Those are important verses. That's something to attain. Amen? Where you deal with the sin in your life or the sin in somebody else's life and how it's affecting you, and you come close to the Lord and you let him guide and direct, and you have that peace. In Genesis chapter 7, this is about the flood, Noah and the flood. And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. What a place of safety, the ark. Here the whole world is going to be destroyed. And he says, get into the ark. It's the only safe place. And when they went in the ark, the Bible says, and God shut the door. What a safe place to be. Amen? And they made it through that. And, of course, you know the rest of the story. Exodus chapter 12. This is about the Passover and the nation of Israel being delivered from the bondage in Egypt. And the last plague, this was what the Bible says in verse 13. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses wherein ye are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you, which I might smite the land of Egypt. It was a place of safety. They took the blood of the lamb, they put it on the top of the door and the side door post, picture of the cross, and it was a picture for us, because in the book of Corinthians in the New Testament, even Christ, our sacrifice, our lamb is sacrificed for us. And he died in our place. And so when we accept him, that's a safe place for us to be. In Joshua chapter 10, you don't have to turn there, but Joshua is fighting five other kings. And he's got the victory. And the five kings that were fighting him hid themselves in a cave. And Joshua found out they were there. And so he came and he put a guard over that cave, and he said, when I come back, you'll be judged and be destroyed. He goes and he fights another battle, and he comes back, and when he comes back, they kill those men, those kings, and then they buried them in the same cave. The cave that was supposed to be a refuge became a prison, and then it became a tomb. And sometimes people go in that direction. They don't understand. Boy, what a blessing it is to, at a young age, know the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And but God, you know, that doesn't happen for some people. Praise the Lord for music. Amen. Amen. Okay, is that your phone, D? It's okay if you love rock and roll. Amen. That's okay. That's okay. No, nobody's mad, Dee. Amen. And we record these and we put these on YouTube. I should give Dee's last name, but I won't. Amen. Praise the Lord. There's always a place of safety for the Christian. And when the Bible says we can be under the shadow of his wings, or we can be in his bosom, or he's a high tower, he's a refuge, all of those things, we get this picture of the devil can't get us there. Amen. That evil cannot penetrate that goodness. When you take the shield of faith, amen, that's in Ephesians chapter 6, it's something we hide behind because our faith destroys all those works of the devil. In Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 10, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Think of that. If sinners entice thee, consent thou not. There's a lot out there that would tempt us. And the Bible talks about the pleasures of sin, but you can only enjoy that for a season. But at his right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. But the pleasures of sin for a season, if sin wasn't pleasureful, nobody would be having a problem with it. Amen? But you fight and you resist temptation and you throw up that shield of faith so that you are not taken by the temptation. Think of this. Achan said, when I saw, then it says, I coveted. Then it says, I took. And then it says, I hid. Because sin is a terrible thing. It's a destructive thing. In homes, in marriages, in relationships, in churches, in the government, and it goes on and on and on, and people are always hiding rather than confronting that. Eve consented before she took the forbidden fruit. She saw that the fruit was good for food, desired to make one wise, pleasant to the eyes, and she took the fruit. And then she hid because of the sin and all the practical lessons there. David consented before he committed adultery. James, I think it's chapter 2, could be chapter 1. But the Bible says there, lust, when it hath conceived, bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Lust, sin, and death. They consent. You get the idea. You get the picture. You see the temptation. Your flesh takes over. And you think, what if I do that? But remember, it's always wrong to sin. It's always destructive. God can always forgive, but it's a very powerful thing. In Proverbs chapter 5, 6, and 7, the Bible talks about the strange woman, and don't even go near the corner of her house because you're thinking about something. And don't consent to it. Joseph consented not. What a blessing. And he wasn't involved in sin. Proverbs 5:8, remove thy way far from her, come not nigh the door of her house. The three strongest men in the Bible all fell to women, strange women. The three strongest men in the Bible. David was the strongest man spiritually. Samson was the strongest man physically. Solomon was the strongest man intellectually. And all three of them fell to women. Why? Because they consented. They saw, they consented, they did. And then tried to hide it. David tried to hide it so much that he killed a man. And that's what God says happens. Well, I'd never do it. If you play with sin, sooner or later, the sin will bite you. And that poison will be in your veins. And then the act will come. And then, well, I don't want anybody to know I did that. And so you're starting to hide it. And now all of the emotions, all of the dread, boy, what if somebody finds out? So much so that you want to confess it and be over with that feeling. But if you confess it around the wrong people, there's no mercy. Amen. But if you confess it around God, there's mercy. And that's a blessing. Consent. That's agreement of the mind to what is proposed. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, and Saul was consenting to Stephen's death and all that was involved in that. Luke chapter 9, here's some good news. 19 verse 10, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. I want to be found. Amen. You don't want to run and hide from God. You want him to find you. In Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. This book is amazing. And if you just get in the Bible, amen, the Lord will speak to you. He knows your thoughts. He knows the intents of your heart. He knows what you're going through. He knows the temptations, the strengths, the weaknesses. He knows everything. Just try reading through the book of Psalms. Amen? It's not that long. Take you maybe 7 years. I don't know. But read the book of John. Read the book of Romans. and just let God speak. Amen? Here's another church, okay? We're a church. There's a bunch of them. There's one right down the road. There's a couple over here. There's churches everywhere. And you can pick wherever you want to go to church. But boy, taking a Bible, getting by yourself, amen, just reading, seeing what God has to say, you can really get something. Not that you can't get something here, amen. You're supposed to say amen to that. Okay, good, good. God wants to bless us, and he wants to make us a blessing to other people. In Proverbs 14:34, righteousness exalteth the nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Proverbs 13, verse 5, every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. There's the hiding. Psalm 119, verse 140, thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it. One more. Proverbs 13, verse 12, there is a generation, it says, who are pure in their own eyes, and yet is not washed from their filthiness. You know, sometimes they'll take these polls and these interviews. So somebody will go out on the street and say, what do you think about this and what do you think about that? A lot of times there's a lot of different answers to that. And you can do that with religion. You can do that with salvation. You can do that with the Bible. You can do it with anything. You stop 20 people, you're going to get a lot of different ideas. If you get in the Word for yourself, just see what God has to say. Amen. He'll open the door and guide your life. Rock of ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. That is an old song. I mean, I haven't sung that song for, I don't know, 20 years. Yeah, 8 years. I don't know how long it's been, but it's a good song. Rock of ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. And then it talks about salvation. In Psalm 51:6, David said this to the Lord, behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts. Truth in the inward parts. And here's David, and he sinned, he committed adultery, he committed murder. He couldn't get over that. He says, there's a roaring in my soul. And naturally it would be. Somebody who's ruined somebody's life or affected somebody's life. And he, in Psalm 51, he says, against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this wickedness in thy sight, O God. And then he says something else a little bit down in the chapter. He said, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. Create in me a clean heart, O God. All through the Bible, you're clean through the word which I've spoken unto you. And that's how God works in our life. That's how he erases that sin or helps us to deal with that. His word is so, so powerful. 1 Peter 3:4, let it be the hidden man of the heart, and that which is the not corruptible, even the ornament of meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God, is great price. The hidden man of the heart. You know, religion is a tough road. It's a form of godliness. And man, you can't do this and you have to do that. And you're living under condemnation all the time. And it's a hard way to live. Jesus was giving an illustration in the Gospels. And, of course, the nation of Israel was under the Roman rule, the Roman bondage. And there was a law in Rome that they could ask somebody who was subservient to them to carry their load 1 mile. And so somebody said, "What do I do, Lord?" And he says, don't just carry it 1 mile. Go with him twain. That's where we get going the second mile. And the first mile is the law, and that's a rough way to go. The second mile is you're doing that because you want to. That's what Jesus was saying. Go the second mile. Amen? And when you come to church because you have to, oh, it's a great time. Isn't it a great time in church when you don't want to be here? You know? But it'd be a better time if you wanted to come. And when you come to church and you say, boy, he's giving it to them today. You know? Or, man, they should have been here today. They really needed that message. And it's not applied at all. It just changes everything. But when you come to church and you say, God's speaking to me. He's speaking to me. No matter who else is here, God is speaking to me. And he's giving his word. And boy, what a privilege that is. Amen? And if we just receive the word, if we confess and forsake our sin, he gives us his mercy. Always. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. It's called the mercy seat. It's called a throne of grace. And all we have to do is come. That's all you have to do. What a blessing. You don't have to hide anything from God. He knows it anyway. Amen? I mean, you know, you run Adam and Eve or Cain. I mean, the list of illustrations is endless. But when we come before God, listen, you are happy when you're pleasing the Lord. That Spirit of God is not grieved. It's not quenched. You enjoy it. I enjoy serving the Lord. Amen? We'll enjoy letting somebody get in front of us for our potluck. Amen? Now people fight for that. Try and get the message. Amen? What a blessing. What a blessing. It says, behold, thou desireth truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. That's where he works. He's strengthened with might in the inner man. 1 Peter 3:4. But let it be the hidden man of the heart. What a blessing. Revelation 2:17. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna. If somebody hears what God is saying, it does something in their life. Amen. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's how our faith is increased. That's how we know we can follow God. That's how we can believe in him, because he is the true God. And it's something that we take pride in. God is seeking you this morning. Everybody here, God's trying to tell us something. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter what you look like, how much Bible you know. Amen? God wants to say something. He's seeking us. Some people are wanting to be found. It's hide and seek. I want God to find me, you know. And some people are hiding. Behind what? I don't know. Behind a reputation? Could be. Behind something else? But God is seeking. He's come to seek and to save that which was lost. That's why he came. That's what God does. The nation of Israel was called sought out because God was always seeking them. All God wanted to do was bless them. Amen? That's all God wants us to receive from him, is his blessing. And it's such a wonderful thing. How is God speaking to you today? I use a lot of Bible verses, and I do that on purpose because something has to register. Amen? I could quote John 3:16, and we could go home happy. Amen? It's still the word of God. It's not the length of the sermon. It's not the favorite subject or whatever. God is speaking his word. And when we come to that, and if he's speaking to us, if there's something hidden in us, he wants us to reveal that to him so he can forgive it. And we can go on and live to please him. I hope you're not hiding from God today. James 4:8. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Luke 15, the prodigal son. He comes to himself. He says, man, I'm going back to my father's house. He has bread enough and to spare. Bread. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Here's the bread. Amen. The Father is inviting you. And if, you know, you come to yourself, he came to himself and he says, I'm going home. And when he got home, the Father killed the fatted calf, gave him the best robe, ring on his finger, shoes on his feet, and they had a party. Amen? We might not have a party for you because we don't know what's going on in your life, but God will have a party for you. Try it. Amen? I was 21, 22 years old when I accepted Christ. Lived a false religion idea. That it was works. You had to do this in order to go to heaven. Farthest thing from the truth. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. Nobody will go to heaven or get saved or be forgiven because of doing something. Jesus did it. All we have to do is receive it. It's the gift of God, the free gift of God. What a blessing that is to know. Draw nigh to God, he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways, the Bible says. How long will you serve the wrong master? Well, I'm just right in the middle of there. I can't make up my mind. If you make up your mind for the Lord, you'll see He's real. Amen? And not until then. Until you receive the Lord, He's just somebody else's life, somebody else's religion, somebody else's idea. But when you make it personal, you become a new creature in Christ. I remember when I got saved, I remember kneeling down by my couch and asking God to save me. And I didn't get it until then. I was confirmed in a Lutheran church. My stepfather was Catholic. I had all of this. When I was old enough, I was done. I was done. I was made to go. I didn't want to go. I don't know if anybody's had that. Maybe you have that today. I don't know. But I had all of that, that I just didn't want anything to do with it. Bunch of hypocrites, saw a bunch of hypocrites, all this, you know. Man, how are you ever going to understand the Bible? You're never going to do it. But when I accepted Christ, my life changed. And God did that. It is God that worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. God does it. Oh, isn't it a blessing? Amen? It's just such a blessing to know that truth. Isaiah 55 and verse 6. When I was confirmed, my grandmother gave me a Bible. I have it in the office. And that's Isaiah 55, 6. And it says, seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. Seek Him. He wants to be found. He will not hide from you. Draw nigh to God, He'll draw nigh to you. He won't hide from you. All you have to do is take a step towards Him. Just one step, and He'll reveal the Scripture to you. Just read. Just talk to a counselor. Talk to a pastor. Talk to a loved one. Let them show you how to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Somebody said one time, it's time to come clean. Amen? It's time to come clean. And you do that through the Word of God. David said, create in me a clean heart, O God. That was after his sin. And guess what? God did that for him. Adultery, murder. God forgave him. In our life, in our world today, there are some things you do, and it's bad, and you may do jail time or prison time. We've done a lot of jail work. But Paul and Silas were in prison, thinking they were going to give their lives the next day, and they were singing praises to God because they knew Him. Amen. If you're here today and you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, it's free will. Nobody will ever, you can't be made to do that. It has to be received. As many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. And if you're here today as a believer, you're enjoying the Lord, but maybe something's popped up. Maybe you've fallen into sin. A just man falleth seven times, but riseth up again. But if you're here today and you're just trying to hide something, talk to God about it. Amen. Because He'll certainly help you. Let's bow our heads, please. Heads bowed, eyes closed. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, I just want to give you a couple verses. In Romans 10, the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's all that's necessary. I'm a sinner. Jesus is the Savior. I want Him to save me, forgive me of my sins, and give me a home in heaven. If you say that with sincerity to Him, He'll forgive you. As a believer, if your love's grown cold or you're headed down a wrong path, just talk to the Lord about it. Our Father, we love You. Thank You for Your Word today. I pray, Lord, that we would never try to hide from You. How foolish that is. And I pray, Lord, that we would find You today in a way that we haven't found You before. More merciful, more gracious, more kind. May we always walk with You, Lord. Thank You for keeping us. In Jesus' name, amen.